So, all right, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to turn it back over to Jackie, and we'll continue with our time of worship. So, Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you, God, that you're so good to us. What a blessing it is to be in this place this morning. So, Lord, as we're here, we just pray that if our minds and our hearts are not already prepared, Lord, that you'll help us in the moment of worship to get there. Help us, Lord, to just clear our minds and clear our hearts. And, Lord, may you be the one that fills that emptiness. And, Lord, as we worship, as we pray, as we, you know, hear a message, Lord, I just pray that everything that we do in this place is done to bring you praise, honor, and glory. And Lord, may it be done in such a way that you are pleased. And you know, God, that we love you. You know, Jesus, that we love you. You know, Holy Spirit, that we love you. So, God, we pray now all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.
We're going to sing another, but I want to share something right quick. So the song we just sang is by the sisters. Well, it's just funny that I've been working for this fella who goes to church with him. And he is actually going to come up and help us with our sound system because that's what he does for a living. But he goes to church with the sisters, so he said if we wanted to have them up here to sing, he could arrange that for me. So God's good. So now, getting back to this. Hang on just a minute, bro. I got something to say. It's on my heart. So, and y'all may have heard this before, but, you know, this is probably my favorite song. Because, looking back, my whole adult or my whole childhood, this song I couldn't sing. Because my name wasn't there. Now, with that said, my whole adult life, or my whole childhood, I know this is going to be weird, but I went to school for 13 years and never missed a day. But just like church, y'all, we can be there all the time. Just like me, I could have went to school for 13 years and still never graduated school. You believe that? I mean, I could have went every day, and my grades wouldn't have been up where I could have graduated. So with that said is, this morning, what I want to do is I want to encourage you to really, really, really be sure that when that time comes, at graduation, that was when I knew that I had graduated. They called my name, and I got to walk up there and get that piece of paper. But, you know, it's just like it's going to be in heaven, y'all, man. If your name ain't there, you don't win. And I know a lot of people go to church, and a lot of people dress the church. But man, be sure in your heart that you really, really, really know that Jesus Christ did die for you, and he gave his life for you. Because if you don't, and you're not sure, man, today is the day.
If you want to turn in your word, of course, we're going to have scripture on the screen as well. Or if you want to open your app on your Bible, that's fine too. Just go ahead and go to Exodus 20. And I promise we'll eventually get there. Don't know when, but we will eventually make it there. But if you recall last week, we began a new series of messages focused on the grand nature of the Creator. Now, what do I mean by that? God is big, y'all. Like, that doesn't even really do an explanation of God justice. So this series of messages, one of the things I hope that you would get out of that was just to be reminded about how grand, how big, how great, how awesome our Creator truly is. So the intent of these messages is to help us better understand that God is more than just a name. And most of us, because of how God is revealed in the scriptures, know that he exists as this tri-personal being. I've heard it referred to as this triune God, or you hear about the Trinity, right? So this is how God exists for us. But you know what? Even though he exists that way, he interacts with us in only the manner that he can, because as we learned last week, God simply is, right? So we can try to put all these defining names. We can give whatever to God, but know this. God just simply, as we talked about last week, is. Okay? And guess what? He interacts with us in only the manner that he can because of that. And as the one who said to Moses, "I am who I am," we get to experience the presence of the great I am as this eternal and this undivided person that reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as I continue on and pick up from last week's message, we're going to spend our time together this morning considering just a few questions. First, what is the true name of God? And then secondly, how does knowing that personally impact me? Because after all, I hope you're here, first, because you want to worship God, but second, because you want to do what? Grow closer and get more knowledge about God. Remember, God's name is not simple. Now, I gave you some names last week, and I used mine as an example. My name's pretty simple. Brian. Most people can't spell it properly, though. They spell it brain. I take that as a compliment. But God's name is not that simple, y'all. God's name is a little bit more complex. And guess what, though? It's not something to be dismissed. While it is filled with complexity, his name stands as the most important name in all of existence. Have you ever thought about that? Without God, there would be no you. His name, regardless if we refer to him as some of the names we used last week, whether we use God, whether we use Jehovah, whether we use Yahweh, whether we use whatever names we find throughout Scripture, and I mentioned to you last week in our English versions, God's referred to various different times and various different names over some 300 plus times, 300 plus ways. So whatever, know this, God is big. And to know him and to know his name means what? That it's very deep and very personal. Or it should be, not just to the group, but to you as an individual. So, his name becomes important for us because in all the variations found throughout the Bible, he reveals his nature and all his magnificent attributes. It should be one of our goals to know God as fully or as completely as we can. And I'll say this, if you wish to have a more personal and a more intimate relationship with your Creator, then you must take your knowledge of Him from head to heart. I'm going to say that again. You got to take what you know about God from the intellect, from the head, and allow it to permeate in the heart. When that occurs, that's when it becomes deeply personal for you. The more you learn about who he truly is, the more you'll begin to recognize just how involved in your little old life that he really is. The more you begin to recognize who he truly is, the more you begin to embrace that, the more you'll begin to recognize and the more you'll begin to experience the things that most of you sitting here this morning in some way, form, or fashion, I was going to say want to, but really you need to experience. The closer you get to Him, the more knowledge you gain of God, and the more it begins to permeate your heart, guess what you'll begin to experience? Guess what you'll begin to have in your life? And it comes directly from the source. Things like mercy. How about this one? Grace. I love grace, y'all. That's another one of those words, though, that is hard for us to define. Because when you want to talk about true grace, that's one of the infinite things that God extends to us. And we've talked about this before. We're finite. And being finite, we like to put things in boxes. Things in that are infinite, like grace, can't be put in a box. So it's just as big as God is. That's why I love grace. And because of His love for me, guess what? When I get to know Him, I begin to recognize all the little moments in my life that He has given me grace. And you know what it makes me do? Or what I should do? Thank you. Just thank you, God. Because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. When you recognize God and it begins to permeate your heart, guess what? You get things like mercy. You get things like grace. And most importantly, and the Bible teaches us this because God says this and Jesus says this, you get to experience genuine, authentic, unconditional love. And what I know about people, you can say whatever you want to. What I know about people is everybody sitting in this room wants to be loved. I'm going to change that word. Needs to be loved. And when God becomes big to you and grand to you and you embrace that, then guess what you will begin to recognize at various points through your life is that God has been there all along. And even in your lostness, He loved you. And in your salvation, He loves you. That's God, y'all. To say that God is a big statement. It's a big statement. Now, last week I presented you with the formal, personal name of God, which is found actually, if you go to the Hebrew translations of the Bible, not the ancient texts. In my research, I believe it was from the Blue Letter Bible commentary. But they mentioned that the personal name, which is, it doesn't have vowels in the Hebrew because they just don't do that. It's capitalized. We say Yahweh, right? But they spell it and they write it YHWH without the vowels, okay? Only the consonants. But if you see that, if you go back to those Hebrew texts, the personal formal name of God, some 6,800 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. God is big. God is grand. God is great. God is. Now, most English translations respectfully do this. And we looked at that last week in the translation from the ESV. We take that YHWH and we translate it into our English and we go with the term the, in lowercase, Lord, L-O-R-D. In most translations, you'll see it how? Capitalized. Why? Because that's our way of saying God is big. God is the most important name that there is. Now, some translations will use the Hebrew word for Lord, which is, and I'm not great with this, I'll just say it, it's A-D-O-N, Adon, which you've probably heard as Adonai, right? You've probably heard that word. You know what Adonai or Adon means? The Lord. That's what it means. The more common English translation, which has only been around for less than about 700 years, is Jehovah. Now, what I want you to understand, though, is that by sharing these names with you, is that God's name is unequivocally the most complex, yet the most important name ever. Ever. Because you see, God doesn't have a timeline. God is. So whether you refer to him as YHWH, Yahweh, the Lord, Jehovah, the Almighty, whatever term you choose to use for God, know this, it is the greatest name ever. It's the most powerful name ever. It's the most merciful name ever. It's the most, what? Grace-filled name ever. It's the most loving, love-filled name ever. Whew. That's God. That's God. And you say, well, boy, you are hitting that. You're just trying to drive that home there, preacher. But as hard as I'm driving that home, I just feel like it's so inadequate. Because I'm trying to take my finite English words, redneck as they are, and trying to explain who he is. And what I want you to see is it just really isn't possible. But what is possible is to at least in my heart acknowledge that. And acknowledge that God is. God is. I may have said this. It's more than just a name. Now, perhaps you like to refer to him as Jehovah. You know what that really means? It means self-existent one. God is. Or maybe you like to get fancy and show off your intellect, like preachers tend to do sometimes. You might want to call him Jehovah Elohim or Elohim. You know what that simply means? Creator. Creator. Well, the Hebrews thought it very important to respect God. And even though they did write it, guess what? They didn't really want to. Because they saw it as a sign of disrespect to say his name or even mention his name. But yet they needed to communicate what they understood about God. So they did. Therefore, if the Hebrews worked very diligently to keep a higher level of respect for his name, guess what we ought to do? The same thing. We should, right? So I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to look at the beginning part or the first part of the Ten Commandments. So it should be on the screen, or if you have it on your phone or in your Word, we will read this together. We're only going to read verses 1 through 12. And it says here, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." In verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." How many of you have heard that before? How many of you are sitting there right now thinking, oh, here we go. Preacher Brian's going to get on this tangent about how important the Ten Commandments are. Yeah, I see a bunch of you nodding. I knew that's how it is. But I want you to go back to verse 7. I'm not going to sit here and try to reteach you the Ten Commandments. But I want you to look at verse 7. What does it say? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God, in his commandments to us, says what? My name is important. My name is grand. My name is big. And he says, and you ought to treat it what? Properly. So can I just say this? For God to take it that serious that he puts it as one of his commandments, guess what? It's more than just a name. It has to be more than just a name. In these verses, you find instructions from God about how we are to do what? Revere and respect him. If you go back to the first one, what does it say? No other gods before me, right? What does that simply mean? God has to be God. Let me rephrase that. God is the only God. That's another sermon for another day. Unless the Lord really gets me fired up, you might get it too. But we'll see. But in verse 7, God tells us that we should hold his name with the highest respect, the highest regard. And he doesn't take kindly to a lack of respect when it comes to how we speak of him. What this commandment simply means is that God considers the use of his name in manners which bring him disrespect or in manners which lessen his value as a direct act of sin. To use God's name in any other way except to bring him honor, to bring him praise, to bring him glory, to give him the honor that is due, if you use it in any other way, then God sees that as a direct act of sin. Well, that hurts, don't it? Because when I just said that, you know what I thought about when I was a teenager, even though I was already a Christian? I didn't always use God's name with respect and honor. And when I remember those things, and then I think about this morning's message, I think, oh my goodness. You know? And what does it do? It begins to convict me, and it begins to lead me to wonder if tomorrow that I love God so much that in that moment where I might be mad at something, you know, that guy that cuts you off at the stoplight, or you know down there in Wahala where it goes from two lanes to one lane on that one way. Will I hold my tongue? Will I say something proper as opposed to something improper that I might have said in the past? I must honor God by keeping his name holy and respecting him. We must know that God is God. And another way to consider all this is to know that direct and blatant misuse of his name, and we'll look at this here shortly, equals that of blasphemy. There's another one of them words that scares us, doesn't it? Guess what? It ought to. It ought to. We must know that when we utter his name, it should be done with no personal intent other than to show honor and respect for the great I am. Do you know those people out there that use God's name to get ahead in life? Whew, that's all I'm going to say. So I want to show you just a few more examples of how important it is to understand that when we speak about God, when we say his name, okay, we must honor that, we must respect that, and we must know that when we speak, whether we say God, whether we say Jehovah, whether we say Yahweh, whatever name we choose to speak of God, it must be said knowing in our hearts that it is so much more than just a name. Than just a name. We're going to go to Leviticus, y'all. Chapter 24. Now, I just want to read this story to you. And we're not really going to, I'm going to read you two stories. I'm going to read you one from Leviticus chapter 24, verses 10 through 16, and I'm going to read you from Mark 3. And we're not really going to break these down and really talk about what's going on, but as I read these couple of stories, I just want you to listen, okay? Listen to what it says about God and His name. Beginning in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10, it says this, "Now an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Israel. And the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp, and the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. Then they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in custody till the will of the Lord should be clear to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him. The sojourner as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death." Whew. Can I just say this? How you use God's name, God takes it very serious. He takes it very serious. Go over to Mark chapter 3. We're going to look at the words of Jesus here in verses 22 through 30. Beginning in verse 22, it says, "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he cast out the demons. And he called them to him, and he said to them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end." Verse 27, "But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house." And pay attention here. 28, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, He has an unclean spirit." Now, I'm not going to get into the fact that Jesus is trying his best to correct those religious leaders. But I want you to pay attention, especially to those last couple of verses, because what is he talking about? It uses blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what, y'all? We talked about it at the very beginning. God exists how? That's three persons, the Father, Son, and, oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit. So to blaspheme the Holy Spirit also does what? Blasphemes Jesus. The Son also blasphemes God the Father. And there's a word there that says never. It says those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit enter into a moment in their life, and it says they will never be forgiven. That's very strong. And let me say this, what this means. Does that mean that you could use God's name improperly and not be forgiven? What this is talking about is when you use His name out of your heart and you deny His existence. You deny who Jesus is. You deny the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you hear and you say, and then you go on about your life. The Bible says you'll never be forgiven. Think back to Leviticus. The punishment there was to be stoned to death. That was a physical death. Jesus says here, that even worse than that physical death is what? A spiritual death. In other words, to make it to the judgment seat, right? And for God to look and say, you know what? You never, never accepted. You always denied. What's the result of that, y'all? Here Jesus says you'll never have an opportunity in that moment, after that moment, never, ever, 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 ever again to be forgiven. To be forgiven. Whew. That's pretty serious, y'all. I don't know any other way to put it. other than to say, that's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. So I want to follow that up by saying, what's in your heart today? You know, this whole series is about focusing on God. You know, we're going to get to Jesus. We're going to get to the Holy Spirit, because we're going to focus on God. But you've got to see this. You've got to see this. So many people walk around this world and they say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. I'm just going to be honest with you. You can believe in God all day long, but do you know God? Have you accepted God? Is he real to you? Is he here? Because if he ain't here, if he's just here, then you're missing something. Something's not there. And you're approaching every day, as every day goes by. You know what you're approaching? You're approaching this moment. If it's not here and it's only here, you're approaching this moment where you might be standing before God at the judgment seat. And he says, what? You never knew me. Depart from me. Don't let, Jackie said it earlier. if you don't know, why not let today be the day that you leave here knowing? That you leave here knowing that God, Yahweh, Jehovah, is right here. Right here. I wanted to point out a few things. First, present in both of those stories is God. And it's God as he is. We see God as Jehovah El Elyon, which means the Lord is most high. You read both these stories, guess what we see? God is all powerful. We see God is all knowing. We see God is all present. And guess what he's doing? He's addressing people who have used his name in vain. You know why? Because he gets to. You know why? Because it's his name. You know why? Because he's God. And guess what? He's addressing them because they've not used his name properly. They have not spoken about him in a manner that they should have. And he didn't like it. He didn't like it. Aren't you glad that he hasn't come into your life and said, hey, guess what? You didn't speak of me properly. Now I'm going to let your church family take you in the backyard and stone you to death. Hey, you remember that thing we talked about? When you start recognizing that God's right here, you'll start recognizing things like mercy and grace and love. Can I just say that remember that time in your life where you probably didn't speak so highly of God that you didn't get stoned? Guess what? That's an extension of God's mercy and his grace and his love. Because when I read that, God could have, if he chose to. Y'all, I'm, woo! In Leviticus, we see God deal with sin in a way that seems harsh. He had a man stoned, y'all. People say, well, how can God do such a thing? Don't put that on God. Put that on the man who didn't understand the significance of the one he was speaking about and that he cursed. I say it this way, he left God no choice. He left God no choice. And when we compare that with what Jesus taught in the parable that we just read in Mark, we must understand that when someone completely denies the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, along with denying the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, then that person will never have an opportunity to be forgiven. One death was physical, the other is spiritual. Here's the thing. That spiritual death, how long does it last? Forever. You say, well, preacher, I don't like it when you preach these sermons that's trying to scare me. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just being real with you. We were kind of joking around this morning. If that scares you, let me tell you what that is. That's conviction. That's conviction. To know Jesus and accept him and all his work is God's guarantee that death will only come to us in a physical manner and never in a spiritual manner. When it talks about being alive in Christ, that's what we're talking about, y'all. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? The only death you'll experience is a physical one. You'll never experience a spiritual one. But if you go the other way, you get both. You get both. To be spiritually alive means we get to see and experience the full nature of El Shaddai. El Shaddai. The all-sufficient one. How many times have you ever said something like, God, I need you for this. When you say something like that, do you believe it though? Because when you refer to him as El Shaddai, that means he's the all-sufficient one. In other words, he's got everything that you need for every circumstance that you could ever imagine. And can I just say this? God is big, and God is the only one that can do that. I love the fact that many of you trust me with your care. You trust me to have right answers. You come to me and you say, can you help me do this? Can you do these things? Guess what? I can only go to a certain point because I'm just me. The reality is I love it that you trust me. But man, I'm just like y'all. And if I'm ever going to be worth my weight in salt, to use that phrase, the first thing I'm going to do is say, hey, let's go to him first. He's the El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the one that's got it all. Let's start there. Because you know what? When you start there, I like it. I can be lazy. I ain't got to do anything. But you know why? Because that's God. And he's that's how he works. That's how he works. Do you believe in your heart this morning that God, as he is, as Father, as Redeemer, as Guide, is your El Shaddai, your all-sufficient one? Can you trust and be content in knowing that El Elyon is the one who watches out for you? The one who sees is another way to say that. I said this to you last week. God sees you. You might think that he doesn't. But he sees you. He's the El Elyon, the one who sees and watches out for you. For those here today that know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can rest assured that God is faithful to fulfill all his promises for you. You can trust and know that God is your provider. God is your Jehovah Jireh, J-I-R-E-H, Jehovah Jireh. The one who provides. Those in Christ know that God allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the price as the penalty for our sin. And through Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, the one who provides, guess what he does? He provides you with the fulfillment of the promise of God that says, if you what? Believe in your heart. We looked at this couple weeks back, and confess with what? Your mouth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. You know who does that? Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Aren't you glad that he provided Jesus Christ? When I say things like that, y'all know like half my family was raised in a Church of God church and the other half was in Southern Baptist. When I say things like that, it makes me want to. But I say, it's okay, y'all. It's okay. Because I tell you, it ain't for show. It ain't for show. It's just something I can't control. But you know how you get that? You got to have God. It's got to be what flows out of your heart. It's got to be what's coming from right here. And I keep saying, I'm telling y'all, one of these days, at least in my mind, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to sing like Stephen McWhirter. Or I'm going to sing like Carrie Underwood. Probably ain't going to sound a thing like that to any of y'all. But right here, that's what it's going to sound like. Than today. Y'all been trying to get me to sing forever. Whew. God's timing. God's timing. Those in Christ can be confident in knowing that because of Jesus. Y'all know most people go from one defeat to the next. That's how they live their life. You ever been there? You say, well, what's going to happen next? You say, well, golly, it can't get any worse than this. And then you say, well, wait for tomorrow. Right? You stand on the side of the road changing your flat tire. You won't blame God. Can I just say, blame your car? Maybe you didn't check your tires. You move from one defeat to the next. But when you got Jesus Christ and it starts flowing out of here, instead of moving from one defeat to the next, you'll start moving from one victory to the next victory. We sing an old-fashioned song. What's it called? Victory in Jesus. Man, there's a lot of truth to that. But if you don't have it here, you'll just be singing a bunch of words. But when you have it here, you'll move instead of defeat to defeat to defeat. You go victory to victory to victory. Because what you'll start seeing is, man, I had a flat tire, but old Joe, he stopped and changed it for me. I didn't even have to get my hands dirty. Thank you, Jesus, for that blessing. And then you drive on down the road and you run out of gas and you blame God for not putting gas in your car. Somebody comes along, got a 5-gallon can, like my son. He carries gas with him everywhere he goes because he mows grass. Stops on the side of the road and fills you up and gets you to the gas station. You're going to thank him, absolutely. But who are you? Who should you be thanking? Thank you, God, that you sent him along at the right time to put gas in my tank. And I know I'm using silly, worldly explanations. But when you start living for Christ and it's right here and it's flowing out of you, the little things will start to show up. And you'll start moving from defeat to defeat and going from victory to victory to victory. And before long, you'll be singing, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and he sold me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Jesus loves me, this I know. Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. God's big, y'all. He's complex. And he's that way on purpose. Because when we love him, when we truly, truly love him, we'll start experiencing who he really is. And we'll start seeing who he really is all the time. Not just when we want to. Not just when we want to. You know, when you start living a life that moves from victory to victory, you'll get another name of God in the process of that. It's called Jehovah Nissi. You ever heard of that one? It means the banner that goes before me. You know what that is? When being a military guy, what? Most of the time you fly a flag of what? Who you belong to, right? You fly that flag of the unit you belong to, right? Well, guess what? I'm flying the banner of God. Jehovah Nissi. You know how you go to victory? You stand behind him and you follow him every step of the way. Every step of the way. 1 Corinthians 15:57, as we saw last week, says this, but thanks be to God Thanks be to Jehovah Nissi, the banner that goes before me, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. I'm going to take a good nap today, y'all. When I preached this other day, I was more wound up than I am now. My steering wheel, I think I might have broke it. And I know I'm just being a little funny, but I'm for real. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jackie, what was it? Why not let today be today? Why not let today be the day? It is pretty easy. It's pretty easy. God's complex, but He operates pretty simple. I said it already. If you believe all that this word says, all that you've heard your whole life about who Jesus Christ is in your heart, and you confess it with your mouth. You believe it in your heart. You confess it with your mouth. He'll fulfill His promise, and He will save you. He will save you. And it won't be too long. You'll be one victory to the next. One victory to the next. Why? Because you give Him control. You give Him control. We're going to play a song invitation. I'm going to ask you to just sit where you're at. It's going to be on the screen. You're probably not going to know it. If you know it, sing with it. Otherwise, just worship with it. I'll be right here if I can help you. But look, I'm telling you, if you need to make something right in your heart, if you need to take it from here to here, now's the best time. Now's the best time. Why not make it today?
Troubled waters, here in the shadow all alone. And I've been worried about tomorrow, stuck in a world I can't control. Peace like a river flow. Oh, peace. 'Cause I met you as a savior, and I found in you a friend. And I've seen you as a healer, my help and my defense. God, you've been my provider, you're right now what I need is you to be my Prince of Peace. Come and be my Prince of Peace.
You know, that there's folks who are way gifted with lyrics and songs, and but that's one of those songs I could put on and just let it play. And just shut my eyes and just spend time with my Father. Spend time with my Savior. Spend time with the Spirit of God. And just let it wash over me. Let it just wash over me. And get up and do what? Move victory to victory instead of defeat to defeat. I'm going to close by saying this, and I don't know if you've heard this morning, but when we talk about God, it's more than just a name. It's more than just a name. It's a big, big, big deal. And my prayer for you is that you leave here today knowing God, embracing Him, and chasing. I used to say walking or following. Man, sometimes you got to chase. But the cool thing is when that desire grows, you'll chase. I used to run marathons, and people say, how you do that stuff? I'd run and not realize I ran because I was chasing Him. I was talking to Him. It's so good, y'all. It's so, so good. Don't leave today if it's not right. Don't leave today if it's not right. I'm going to pray, and I'll hang around up here. If you need me, I'll be here. As you leave, love on somebody. Let them know that you care about them. Let them know that because of Him, you got victory. You got victory. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for being El Shaddai, El Elyon, being Jehovah Rapha, being Jehovah Nissi. Thank you, God, for being God. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue me from who I really am. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that if I'll listen, you'll take me down the right path, the right ways, at the right time and the right moment. Father, we ask now that as we go, that you be our Prince of Peace. Father, be our Prince of Peace. And may we praise you and honor you and worship you every step of the way. We love you, and we pray all these things in your mighty, holy, big, grand name. Amen.